Allness is harmony, chaos, nothingness, and allness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, and the rest of the world, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. What would an absolute philosopher have to say about allness, that it is harmony, chaos, nothingness, and allness? Well, this is what he would say. He would say that allness is harmony. He would say that a drop of water falling in a pond and spreading its waves across the pond is beautiful. And he would say that that's part of the allness. Now, a scientist would say, I don't think so. A scientist would take a drop of water in a vacuum and drop the drop of water, and there would be no spurlings. There'd be no ringlets going away from it. There'd be no spreading out at all. And you say, well, now, why is that? Why is that? And the scientist would say, well, that's because there is no air for the water to push against as it's coming down. And you would say, well, that's most interesting. In other words, there is no similarness or sameness to everything when other conditions might prevail. And now you know that. You know that. When Sylvia cuts herself and she has a piece of skin that she pulls off and throws it away, now that piece of skin disintegrates, doesn't it? It just sort of dries up and sort of rots away. But on Sylvia's arm, it doesn't do that. It just grows new skin and goes across the rip, and she's got a new skin there. Now, is Sylvia some sort of a miracle person that she creates new skin and she throws the old skin away and it acts differently when it's away from her? No. This is how the harmony of the universe is. All things under all conditions work similar, except when they don't work similar. And when they don't work similar, we say, all of the conditions are exactly the same. Why don't they work the same? Well, Ingeborg cuts herself, and she takes the piece of skin that she lost, and she throws it into a Petri dish. And you may ask, what is a Petri dish? A Petri dish is a dish in which things are grown, scientifically grown. And then Ingeborg is standing there, and I come along and I say, what's this in the dish here? Ingeborg says, that's part of my skin. And I said, oh, hey, let's try an experiment. Let's see if we can grow a new Ingeborg. And so we've put all the nutrients and all the things in the dish which help it to grow. And all lo and behold, the skin grows into a new Ingeborg. And you say, well, my gosh, why don't they clone people that way? Why don't they do things that way? Well, everybody hasn't got the touch. And what is the touch that everybody doesn't have, Ingeborg? Everybody doesn't have the touch of the exact conditions to have that happen. Now, Ellen is madly pointing to her forehead saying, it's in here, it's in here, it's in here, the conditions are. And that's true. That's true. The thing is, Sylvia threw away the piece of skin because she no longer had a need for it and disposed of it. Ingeborg threw away the piece of skin, but she threw it in a Petri dish. And when anyone sees anything in a Petri dish, they immediately want to give it proper type of nutrients so that whatever it is, that it'll grow. You know, Ingeborg had been working very diligently out in her laboratory behind her cat, Blackie, and she has about 12 Petri dishes there, and she has put all sorts of things in the Petri dish, lead, silver, also because she wants to make gold. She's in the process of trying to make gold. And so she thought, surely she could make a human being. Well, little by little, she does. Just think, hey, what is the difference between a Petri dish and a womb? A womb is where a baby is born, you know? That's in the mummy's tummy, you know, so to speak. And the Petri dish is just out in the open. Now, in mommy's tummy, mommy eats good foods, and then the baby is nourished. And in the petri dish, you put in good nutrients that will help it to grow. Now, if you put in all of the substance that the mommy has in her tummy to give to the baby in the petri dish, you should have a baby. Now, we have been told by scientists, now Sylvia, you stop laughing. We have been told by scientists that every single cell of the body can reproduce everything that the body is, right?
That's right.
That's right. See, now she agrees with me. So she had to hear what I was saying first. But every cell of the body can reproduce any other cell and the whole body. The whole body. You just take a sperm and an egg and you have no big deal, but it can reproduce a whole being, you know, and sometimes five beings, and sometimes more. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Five little babies? My goodness. And maybe, what's the most number of babies? I haven't heard eight babies or something.
Six. Huh? I think it's still six.
Six? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of babies. Oh. Now, think of all those babies. Theoretically, one sperm got in there and woke them all up. And they said, good, let's go, you know, let's party. And so they started to live and started to do great things. The same thing can happen in the petri dish. Now, the same thing can happen, Ellen,
in mind.
We can do all these things. Now, we don't need the external world to reproduce the internal desires. In that respect, allness is harmony, chaos, nothingness, and allness. When we put this fact together in our consciousness that we are the allness, we can accomplish anything. We can achieve anything at all. There is nothing that is impossible for us. And just like you take a drop and it always makes the water go out into little circles, if you put it in a vacuum, it won't do that. Well now, hey, what is it that we want the drop to do? What is it that we want anything to do? Why is it that a little baby that has no immune system can be put into what do they call it, a bag or a little
tent.
House?
Hmm? Like a tent.
Like a tent. Yeah, it's something to keep all germs from getting to the child because it has no immunity system. Well, now, if they can make an atmosphere which has no germs in it, has no problems in it, why don't they create human beings in that type of an environment? And then you say to yourself, but that's not the real environment. And that's true, it's not the real environment. The real environment has all of this stuff in it that we build up immunity to. Now, if you don't build up an immunity to your environment, you're in trouble. We Americans and Europeans, we go down to Africa, for instance, and we go down there and they have malaria. They haven't yet conquered that as the northern countries have. And they haven't, and malaria is there. Now, if we go down there with our immune systems, which are not immune to malaria, we get it. And it's very silly. It's a very silly thing to do. Now, why would anyone want to go someplace where they're not immune to something? Well, you can go to the doctor and get a shot to be immune for a period of time, or maybe always, to the things that you might encounter. But do the doctors really know all the possibilities? Do they really know all the things you should be immune to? And of course, that's the point. They don't. So you have to make yourself immune in your consciousness. And when you make yourself immune in your consciousness, then you are untouched by these things. Now, we teach this, being untouchability, one-pointedness, you know, unpossessed and non-judgmental. We teach all those good things. But who follows it? Who follows it? I say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, don't let that bother you. Ingeborg says, but that shouldn't be. Ingeborg, don't let it bother, but it shouldn't be. And she gets all tanked up with the thought that it shouldn't be. And I say, Ingeborg, who gives a darn? You. And when you stop giving a darn, then nobody cares, and it goes by the way, and is forgotten like it should be. But you and us, whenever we are touched by something, and then we worry it to death, we are the ones who suffer for it. Everybody else is looking at us and saying, I wonder why they have tuberculosis. I wonder why they have these various diseases. Well, they all come from the lack of immunity in our body. Now, what is the immunity? Untouchability. When we are untouched, then we have... Now, you've got to admit that's a fact when you think of all the medical doctors who cannot be immunized against everything. Go into hospitals, go into this, and the patients die because the patients don't believe they're going to live. But the doctors, they believe they're immune, they're untouched. They wash their hands 6 or 8 times in dirty water, you know, and with dirty towels. And so, really, the doctors should have all these things too, but they do not accept it. And you say, well, some do die. Well, sure. Some have low periods, they have low attitudes occasionally, and their lives are in chaos instead of in order. But even chaos is order, if you have the time to wait it out and see the chaos as it eventually flows through its cycle of beingness. So think about this. Do you want to be the allness as harmony? Do you want to be the allness as joy? Do you want to be the allness of, let's use the word, immunity? Wouldn't it be nice to be immune to everything? Not really. You want to be immune to unconditional love?
No.
You want to be immune to having a nice dinner party with somebody and sharing it and enjoying the conversation?
No.
You want to be immune to every rattlesnake that exists and everybody who has negative attitudes? You want to be immune to them? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's your choice. So immunize, isn't there a word like that?
Yeah, sure.
Immunize. Yes, thank you. Yourself to all things that are not of benefit to you. So, Ingeborg, if any time a thought comes up in your mind that something isn't right, say, but that's none of my business and everything in my world is right. You understand? Then, you have just immunized yourself from that silly thing, you know? And so if you're going to Nigeria, for instance, and they might have malaria there, you just immunize yourself from anything that's there. But, of course, really, if you go there and you say, I am the pure white light of love. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I have perfection, 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 perfection. And that's all, really, really. And wherever you look, you only see perfection. You would never be touched. You couldn't. You couldn't. But being human, you feel sorry for people who are hurt, people who have problems. Don't feel sorry for them. Look at them and say, you're whole and perfect. It'll blow their minds. And also, it'll blow their cover. Because if they want to be sick because they want attention, then they'll say, I'm paying a price for it. And that's true. And we all pay a price for any time that we want attention. You know, it's dumb, really dumb. So, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Allness is harmony, chaos, nothingness, allness. And you are the allness. You are perfection. You are right action. You are peace. You are truth. You are love. I like the way he shakes his head. You are fantastic, and you are. You see, that's all you hear from anybody in your world, that you are the greatest, right?
Right.
Right. And that's all we all want to hear from anybody in our world, that we are the greatest. But along the way, we have to be the greatest. We have to see ourselves the greatest. We have to appreciate it. Be untouched. Follow all the rules, follow all the programs, do whatever is asked of us to do, and as we do that, everything flows our way. It's wonderful. Aren't you glad you're you? Because if you weren't you, you wouldn't be sitting here right now listening to me and having a good talk, listening to me. Because you're having a talk, you're arguing with the things I'm saying, and you're saying, oh, okay, well, maybe, and the more you argue, the longer it takes you to wake up that it's already done. So you all have a lovely day and realize that allness is harmony, chaos, nothingness, and allness. And our allness is whatever we choose to put our attention to. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.